You're listening to the Party in My Plants podcast, and you're about to hear how regular old mushrooms might not be magic mushrooms like the one my ex-boyfriend once took in Amsterdam, which caused him to hallucinate in a bathtub, which honestly, in hindsight, was a story he seemed way too proud of. But you're about to hear how regular old mushrooms do offer everyday magic. The magic of wellness and the magic of well-being. And true health is not something you can hallucinate. Welcome to the Party in My Plants podcast, where I make healthy living as fun as a party so you'll, you know, actually want to do it and then actually feel, look, and live your best. I'm your host, Talia Pollock. Now let's get this party started. Don't be weirded out, but this episode is sponsored by Four Sigmatic. I think it is pretty clear by now, considering they've been a sponsor of my show for like a year, that I truly fungally am a Four Sigmatic shroom fanatic. After you hear this episode, you'll understand why, after first trying Four Sigmatic mushroom powder, I wasn't hallucinating the magical effects of these shrooms. They're ultra scientifically proven to boost immunity and gut health, yes, please and thank you, and the four different shrooms that Four Sigmatic uses most, hence the four in Four Sigmatic. They all do different epic things for your bod. Reishi helps you relax. Cordyceps give you non-caffeinated energy for sports and life and stuff. Lion's mane, which doesn't come from a lion's mane, boosts your brain. And chaga is good for immunity issues like when you're traveling or feeling run down and or both. In case you're wondering how I get Four Sigmatic shrooms into my bod on a regular basis, I'll tell you. I make a simple tea with their cordyceps before working out, and I drink their chaga tea when I'm feeling run down, which coincidentally can happen when I run around too much. I love to add more chaga or lion's mane or one of their adaptogen shroom blends into my protein waffle batter every morning, and I rarely pass up a smoothie-making opportunity to not blend in some shrooms as well. I also often cozy up with a warm mug of their Reishi hot cacao with almond milk at night in for a sweet treat and sweet dreams. And I drink their most recent new products of chai, turmeric, and matcha latte packets with water or almond milk for a mid-afternoon boost. I'm not even just saying all this because this is an ad. I do all of those things and my Instagram is proof of all of it. But because you listen to this podcast, and thanks for that, you can save 15% off any and all Four Sigmatic shroom stuff you want to buy off their site, Four Sigmatic, that's FourSigmatic.com, using code PARTYINMYPLANTS. Or you can just go to FourSigmatic.com/PARTYINMYPLANTS to save that 15%, baby. In keeping with my October of rebroadcasting some of my favorite episodes that are related to wedding stuff, since I'm currently on my honeymoon in Africa, I had to reshare this chat with a product I am likely currently sipping with water in Cape Town right now. Shrooms. You already heard about my fondness for the mushroom, but in this chat, you'll hear about the functionality of them and the science behind them. And the way that 13-generation mushroom expert Taro and his team at the company he founded, Four Sigmatic, actually make mushroom teas that don't make you gag and actually make you feel like a better, stronger, weller version of yourself. Taro, mushrooms, how did you become the mushroom guy or the fun guy, to make the most obvious joke ever?
Yeah, I've never heard of that.
Yeah,
you're the first one to tell me that.
I'm sure.
I say that they chose me versus me choosing them, which is a little esoteric and a little new age. Woo-woo. But that's how I feel. And why I say that is that they've come up in my life so many different occasions in so many random ways. So I'm a 13th generation family farmer and also forager through that. And just like foraging mushrooms with my mom and then going to an environmental school that my great, great, great granddad started. And so that's kind of the background. And then about 12 years ago, I randomly discovered a rare mushroom with my college friend and won an innovation award for that.
Whoa.
And then becoming, you know, being a semi-competitive runner later in my 20s, I realized that power of these mushrooms like cordyceps and reishi, which were not mushrooms that I grew up eating. Cordyceps doesn't really grow in Finland. So It was one of these like quote unquote superfood mushrooms. And so there's been multiple times in my life when they've resurfaced, you know, in my life, and that it's kept me excited. And now the last 5 years have been just been obsessed with them. And the more I learn, the more I realize I don't know much of them yet.
No, you're the expert.
Yeah. But it's also it's a whole kingdom. So I feel like nobody in the world really knows. And we're just all figuring it out. We know a lot of them compared to many other natural products because they're so well studied. But at the same time, we've discovered less than 10% of all the mushrooms in the world.
Wow. Crazy. So, wow. So it sounds like mushrooms were like in your blood and in your family and in your destiny.
Yeah, I think they're in everyone's blood and destiny. They just don't know about it. So, and why I say that is that fungi or mushrooms and then humans and or animals actually share the same genetic background. So we were part of the same super kingdom long, long, long time ago. And we still share about half of our DNA with these mushrooms. So you're a half.
I'm half a shroom?
Yeah, exactly.
That's crazy. That is nuts. Well, okay. So if I'm half shroom, I feel like I should know a little bit more about mushrooms. So, I mean, like, give us a little rundown, Mushroom 101. How many kinds of mushrooms are there out there?
Well, the top experts say that there's 1.5 million different types of mushrooms. But the real answer is nobody really knows. But that's based, if that is true, that the head of the international mushroom tribe says that there's 1.5 million different types of mushrooms, that would mean that there's six times more fungi in the world than there are plants. So there's six times more diversity in the fungal kingdom than there is in the plant kingdom. So for every tomato and potato, there are six different types of mushrooms out there.
Wow. That's kind of impossible to wrap your mind around. Also, it's interesting to start, you know, what you are doing with Four Sigmatic, and we'll get into that. You're making mushrooms like sexy again, not again, now, you know, like, I mean, I grew up thinking they were creepy and ew and disgusting and, you know, fungi and gross and nasty, and you're making them sexy. So, you know, how do you choose the mushrooms that you guys use? Because you guys use, you know, I think it's what, four major mushrooms in your blends. You use reishi or reishi, you say them. I don't want to butcher them.
Yeah, I just figured out we should make a t-shirt. You know, that whole Justin Timberlake, bring sexy back.
Yes, you are. Yeah, you're making shrooms back. Cool, making them sexy.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, there is so many different types of mushrooms, but the same way as in a plant kingdom or animal kingdom, not all of them are good for us. So not all mushrooms are good for you. So I'm not saying you should go and eat as many butter mushrooms as you can, because that might not be what will help you ideally.
Right.
So the same way as you don't want to pet a wild rhino, but you want to hang out with your little cute dog, a puppy, it's a two different things versus eating a poisonous plant versus having some kale. Those are very drastically different things. And the fungal kingdom is the same. So some of them are safe, some of them are not. Some of them have little nutrient density, some have a lot of nutrient density. So we chose to focus on four mushrooms predominantly. We work with others as well, but predominantly because those were the most studied of all the mushrooms, and also they were the most differentiated. So I kind of consider them as like our ninja turtles, you know, like there's four of them and they're all very similar. They're all ninjas and turtles. They're all mushrooms and they're all these functional mushrooms, but they all have a special weapon. You know, Donatello has a different weapon than Raphael, and the same way. These four mushrooms have slightly different skills. So if I just go run through them.
Yeah, please.
Reishi, or sometimes said Reishi. Okay. Either way, it's fine. It's a Japanese name. We're all butchering the name, so don't worry about that. And that one is like the queen of mushrooms, can help calm you down. It's very adaptogenic. It's like an evening type of mushroom.
Can you explain what adaptogens are for people that might not know?
Of course. It's one of those buzzwords that is actually a buzzword. Okay. So it's actually based on science originally. So the name, it kind of refers to its ability to help your body to adapt to stressors. Mm-hmm. It was originally discovered, the concept was discovered in Soviet Union when the Soviet army tried to find ways how they could boost their soldiers' physical performance without a letdown the next day. So If you have too many cups of coffee, the next few days you are a wreck. Same goes for amphetamine or anything else. But these ancient herbs that they discovered, like ginseng, rhodiola, or schisandra, were things that they discovered that could help you perform better, but they were totally safe. So adaptogen is something that helps your body to adapt to stress, gives you more buffer.
That's awesome.
In order to qualify as an adaptogen, the food or the mushroom needs to be safe. So it can't be something that causes an addiction or a habit. It needs to be safe every day for kids to people who are older. Mm-hmm. So there has to be completely safe. They need to be a real food.
Okay.
Secondly, they have to be multidimensional. They have to work in a non-specific way, which is sometimes hard to get, but they can affect multiple body functions. Especially if you love science, this can be hard sometimes to quantify, but they can help with your blood circulation and your cognitive function. Like, they work multiple systems in your body, often through these glands that produce hormones, but that's a whole nother conversation.
Yeah.
And then finally, they must balance your body. So they're not helping you. They're helping your body to help you. So they provide the body with the right tools to help itself. So they help the body's own ability to think smarter, to sleep better, to have a better skin, and all that jazz.
That sounds amazing. I mean, these sound almost too good to be true. Like, it helps your body, help it, you be your best self. I mean, that's amazing.
Yeah, and now I've noticed that is, as it's gained popularity, even though it's a super old concept, what I've noticed is that everything starts to become an adaptogen. And the same happened with superfoods back in the day. Carrots, they are superfood now.
Yes.
And I mean, they're a healthy food and you might want to eat them, but you know, the concept of an adaptogen, there's maybe 15 of them in the world, tops 20, and not everything is an adaptogen that fills those three criteria. But nevertheless, reishi is definitely one of them.
Great.
Helps sleep deeper. Then there's cordyceps, another hard and difficult name. Helps with oxygen intake and just energy, natural energy for sports before a workout or if you feel lethargic. And then it has a lion's mane that does not use the mane of a lion, but it's just the mushroom named lion's mane. And that helps with cognitive function and kind of your nervous system. And then finally, the king of mushrooms, chaga, that I like to use as a coffee substitute and with my coffee. But that one is incredibly high in antioxidants. It's like the wellness mushroom that is incredibly good for when you travel or for skin, especially.
Wow, those are great. So those are your four favorite shrooms, it sounds like. And, you know, are the effects of these studied? You know, like, I know a lot of like superfoods and, you know, plants and all that stuff don't get studied that much because people don't want to invest the money to study them because they can't patent them and profit from them. But are mushrooms studied?
Yes. So I guess all foods and all nutrition could be studied more. But in the large scheme of things, these mushrooms are among the most studied foods. So about 40% of pharmaceuticals utilize fungi. And out of the top 20 best-selling drugs in the world, 10 utilize fungi. So there's a lot of studies on them. And, you know, there's still a lot more to be learned, not to say that, but there's quite a few things we already know. There's, to date, research kind of indicates that there is mushrooms can be beneficial for over 200 health conditions, potentially. And they might provide more than 130 medical functions in the body. That's just like 200 issues and 130 functions. That's kind of like there's already studies on them.
Yeah.
And again, we need to research more and have a better understanding. But compared to a lot of the other natural foods, like there's not a lot of studies on blueberries, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's like blueberries are probably good for you, but nobody's been really funding that research.
Right.
But the mushrooms are, because of this DNA similarity, they've been used a lot in the pharmaceutical industry, and there's been a lot of excitement around them and the essential vitamins and nutrients and minerals and compounds they contain. So I think we know quite a lot about them, despite we could always learn more.
That's great. So I guess if I had blueberry in my DNA, maybe blueberries would be studied more.
Maybe. Or maybe if there would be a business, somebody to benefit from it, so they will fund the blueberry research.
Yeah.
I'm a huge blueberry fan, so that I think the anthocyanins and the color pigments found in blueberries, especially wild blueberries, is pretty incredible. So you should definitely have blueberries.
For sure. And mushrooms. So where do mushrooms grow? I mean, I see them in my lawn in Connecticut in my parents' house growing up. Like, where do you guys get your mushrooms? And I mean, how does this even work? You know, do you just go foraging for them? Do you grow them? Do they grow in special, you know, specific locations and temperatures and climates?
Well, some people say they came from outer space and they grow in space, but
you know, they look like it.
Yeah. Yeah, they've been found, mushroom spores been found in multiple layers of the altitude and the atmosphere. So that's why some people say that. Okay, yeah. So take a couple steps back. So fungi grows everywhere on planet Earth. So the kingdom of mushrooms are everywhere. To that extent that 25% of the Earth's biomass is fungal matter.
Whoa.
So the estimates say that 1/4 of the Earth's biomass is mushrooms.
Basically. What? Okay. Interesting.
And so they grow in Sahara Desert. They grow in the nuclear reactor of Chernobyl. Oh. They are extremophiles. They can survive without light. They don't really require nutrients. Few times apparently a meteorite has hit planet Earth and caused so much debris that the sun was blocked because of the debris. And during that time, mushrooms took over the planet a couple times because they would survive versus plants would require sunlight for photosynthesis. So they could survive. And then 2.4 billion years ago, which is way too long for me to even wrap my head around, but estimated 2.4 billion years ago, these mushrooms came from the sea to the dry land. And for the first little over a billion years, they were eating rocks.
What?
They were like, because no plants.
That's where they were getting their nutrients?
Yeah, mushrooms cannot produce their own food, so they need external food sources. So they were just munching on rocks.
Oh, okay. I can't even like fathom that. So the ones that were just like growing, were they growing on rocks? And so they were just taking... Is that how it was working? Do they grow on what they take their nutrition from?
Kind of. They were almost like melting the rock slowly.
Wow.
But the point being is when we think of mushrooms, most people think they're it's that button mushroom that is on top of your pizza. And they actually come in various shapes and sizes that a lot of people will not get that, oh, that's a mushroom. And actually, almost all of these top 10, top 20, top mushrooms with maybe two notable exceptions grow on trees. So the best mushrooms in the world actually grow on trees.
Okay.
And not on the ground. And they often do not look like your average butter mushroom or anything like that. So I would say that's the big from going from the high level of the Earth's biomass to the actual concrete part. How can you utilize these in your own life? If you listen to this, is like, this is super fascinating, but what's in it for me? These top mushrooms from shiitake to maitake to enoki to chaga, reishi, lion's mane, all these more exotic and more familiar mushrooms, they grow on trees and they get a lot of the nutrients from the trees to make it in a bioavailable way for our bodies as well. So we tap into the nutrients that the tree offers as well.
Wow. That's pretty neat.
Yeah, I think it's very neat.
It's really cool. So when you're eating a mushroom, you're getting some of the treat, you know, like you're kind of eating the nature.
Yeah, well, I think the nutrition industry just loves to debate, you know, should we go high fat? Should we low fat?
Uh-huh.
Be high carb? Should we low carb? Mm-hmm. Is animal protein good for you? Is animal protein bad for you? Should you be in keto? 80-10-10? All this stuff, there's a lot of debate. And I think sometimes the health and wellness industry, it is its own worst enemy. And I think we rarely focus on stuff that we agree on. Like nobody's saying is like dark leafy greens are bad for you.
Right.
So one of the things that I think a lot of people agree is this concept of like having diversity in your diet and biodiversity in your diet. And I think, you know, good bacteria like sauerkraut, kimchi, and that good bacteria has been very underrated. Now it's finally kind of trending. One concept is also the use of mushrooms, this whole kingdom of fungi, and the whole concept of getting nutrients from trees. Like trees have been holy for us. Like the concept that was on the Avatar movie of the Na'vi people worshiping this tree is not it's not a novel concept. A lot of indigenous cultures worship trees. The trees were a fundamental part of how they looked at life. you know, and it's part of our, you know, history and myth and lesson from the Bodhi tree to whatever tree. So unfortunately, we can't absorb, it's hard for us to absorb some of the nutrients found on trees. We use some tree barks and pine pollen and whatnot, but it's these mushrooms are a great way to tap into the nutrients that are found in these trees.
Yeah.
And in a bioavailable way.
That's really great. Can you grow them too? I mean, it sounds like they naturally grow on trees, but can you like farm mushrooms?
Yeah, some of them you can very easily. And it doesn't always have to be a tree. Like a very good mushroom, like oyster mushroom, you can grow in coffee grounds.
Oh.
So it doesn't always have to be a tree, but usually the things that are grown on trees have higher amounts of active compounds. But yeah, there's mushrooms that are widely grown, such as shiitake and oki, even maitake. And then there's ones that are a little harder to grow. Predominantly like chaga mushroom is kind of hard to grow without the tree. But usually, even if they're grown in a natural way, if it's done right, the shiitake is grown on logs. So you take decaying trees. So they love dead trees or trees that are dying, such as like in the case of chaga as well, even though it's growing on a living tree, it's a tree that it's on its way out already and it's about to die. And it grows on that tree. So you can also take a tree log stump that is about to decompose and put the mushrooms in that and grow it in kind of naturally cultivate it in a decaying tree. So there's definitely ways how you can naturally grow it.
Mm-hmm.
Some don't use the tree as a medium, which I'm not the biggest fan of, but nevertheless, you can do that as well. Like I said, the mushrooms are extremophiles, so they kind of survive in the most random situations. But yeah, you can grow them in a very natural way and in a very environmentally friendly way as well.
That's cool. That's really cool that they can survive everything. You know, when you use the word kingdom, I kind of laugh to myself, like that's such an interesting word, kingdom of mushrooms, you know, like the animal kingdom, but it really does sound like it's a kingdom. I mean, it's like there's so many different kinds and places and like, you know, a history. It's not just like, you know, a topping on our pizza or like a thing that's thrown into like a Japanese stir fry.
Yeah, it's actually like the animal kingdom or the plant kingdom or the bacterial kingdom or the fungi kingdom. They're all super important for our life and they all can heal us and they all can hurt us. You have to focus on the quality and stuff, but nevertheless, they're all important for our well-being and for the planet. So you need to not just have a party in your plants, but also party in your shrooms.
Party in your shrooms. I love it. Yeah. Have fun with your fungi.
Yeah, or fungal.
Fungal, true. So aside from their specific benefits, so you guys use the four ones we spoke about, the reishi, the chaga, cordyceps, and lion's mane. And you mentioned the specific benefits of them, which were awesome. Do they share common health benefits as well? Like all mushrooms, do they have anything that they share? I mean, I know some are better for relaxing or, you know, energy or brain function, but I'm just curious if there's like any, like all mushrooms are helpful for blah, 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 blah.
There actually is. So I mentioned that they're like the ninja turtles. So the same way as they all have their unique weapons, they're all ninjas and turtles, nevertheless. So, and the same way as if you eat dandelion, which is great for your liver, you're still getting chlorophyll. And chlorophyll from dark leafy greens. And if you eat nettle, that is good for a different body function, you're still getting the chlorophyll. So this chlorophyll, which is in dark leafy greens, in the case of mushrooms, it's called polysaccharides or beta-glucans. And these are amazing for our immune system. So that's what they're originally most used is immune support, balancing, modulating your immune system. And then gut health. They're amazing for your gut biome. So they're healing your gut. And that's actually how they kind of help your immune system as well, is healing your gut biome and working that part. And then blood sugar. So they're also very good for your, you know, blood health and blood sugar. So those are three things that all of them do, is immunity, gut health, and being like blood sugar friendly foods.
Wow, that sounds great. I mean, they sound like magic shrooms, but I know yours are not those technical magic mushrooms that we all hear ridiculous stories about. Like my ex-boyfriend's story about his magic mushroom experience was being in Amsterdam and being in a bathtub, like losing his mind. I assume your shrooms don't quite have the same effect on people.
Well, I just say they offer everyday magic. So the magic of wellness, the magic of well-being. So I just say that they offer everyday magic.
Right.
That's it's a whole other concept than the psilocybin magic. But nevertheless, it's pretty fascinating to also understand in that even if these magic mushrooms or psychedelic mushrooms is not your cup of tea, literally, it's good to understand that the power of nature, what makes, sometimes we kind of discount the power of nature, but there are compounds like that offer very drastic effects in our health. So just understanding that the power of Mother Nature and what can it do to heal our body and affect our physiological state, our mental state, our spiritual state. So, or from another way, like I said, these offer everyday magic.
I love that. I love that everyday magic. That is very, very cool. Let's talk about your brand, Four Sigmatic. Why the name Four Sigmatic?
Because we're geeky. it means in a very geeky way, through a complex mathematical formula that we focus on the 50 most researched foods in the world. And a lot of the top 50 foods are actually mushrooms.
Okay. Wow. Nice geeky meaning to that name. I love it. So tell me how you guys started. You told us a little bit about your background and how like mushrooms have been in your life and in your family for generations and generations. But now it's amazing because you're making these mushrooms really hip again and not again, but hip and like we were saying, sexy. I mean, they're a really old school thing and you're making them cool. So how did you decide to do that and start Four Sigmatic?
Like I said, sometimes things just happen, but there was definitely three things that me and then our founding team, when we started in Finland, and what we were trying to do is one is that I was buying all these random superfoods and capsules and herbs and mushrooms from really horrible websites and they came in capsules and pills and ugly bags. And when I tried to get my friends to try them and say they're all amazing, they're like, that looks so shady. I'm definitely not eating that. And that actually happened to one of our team members as well. He was living in Ireland working for Google and sent him a bag of this stuff. And he was like, too scared to try it. He was like, I'm not trying it. So the one reason was just that I was a huge believer in the benefits of these things and the power. And I wanted a product I could give to my friends that without them being freaked out. And both from a quality point of view, but also that visually and aesthetically and flavor-wise, they were something that they could have.
Yeah.
And then also, we had both started other businesses, like I mentioned, like discovering this rare mushroom and other things like that, but also work for large companies, you know, from Google to Citibank to Hewlett-Packard and whatnot. And we were just like, we just wanted to essentially create our own thing and explore the world. And I guess it's a little bit of a millennial thing, but we felt that there's more to life than just doing a 9-to-5, so to say. And then finally, the thing that has actually become clear every year that we work is the impact that we can create, is doing something meaningful. So if you spend a lot of hours working hard, it's rather spending those hours working hard for something that actually hopefully makes the world a better place, or at least it's like net neutral. So, you know, when we started, we said that, but it was not clear how that would happen. And now we get every day these beautiful messages of people whose lives we touched. And that's really driving us to work that hard, even though obviously, you know, making a living with an early stage company is pretty hard. And also, you know, the difficulties of government regulation and operations and all the kind of the nuts and bolts that come with starting your own business, or especially starting your own food and beverage business. I think a lot of people have that friend who makes amazing muffins at home and everybody says, you should start selling these muffins. They're so good. And it's like, I should, because the product is great. And then you start and you realize that it's not enough that the product is great. There's a lot of hoops you got to jump through, both from a, like I said, government regulation, practical things, operation, shipping, handling, insurances, finance,
claims,
and all that stuff.
And
I at least don't particularly enjoy them, but I understand why you have to be really good at them. But so what gets me through the day of some of that BS is is just the feedback we get from our customers and seeing how positively impacting people's lives. So that puts a smile on my face every time I see one of those emails. So
that's great.
If you tried our products and like them, we always welcome a quick email or Instagram comment or Facebook message about how they impacted your life. Always love to read those.
Yeah, well, I'm like addicted to your mushrooms, which is weird because I mean, I'm sure they don't have, like you were saying, to be adaptogens by, you know, definition. They can't be addicting and they, you know, they can't have that effect. But I literally feel like if I don't have at least one of your mushrooms, something or other every day, I like go through withdrawal. I don't know why. I mean, maybe they just actually make me feel that great that I just want that feeling every day. You've probably been consuming mushrooms for your whole life, but do you feel like you miss them when you don't have them in a day?
For sure. For sure. It's not like I have to have it every day, yeah. Even though I do. But it's actually, you're touching upon something really, really valuable for health in general, not just with mushrooms, is that our body actually knows. And when we give it the right stuff, it's not going to crave it.
Mm-hmm.
So when you take a break from pizza or excessive desserts and you take a 30-day break and then you try eating it again, you actually kind of feel sick. Your body kind of knows, it's like, this is not good for you. Mm-hmm. It's like you feel sick after the first two bites are delicious because it's designed to be delicious. But then when you eat it, you're like, this is not a good feeling. And at the same time, you might have something kind of odd for a while, like a green smoothie every day. But then once you've done it for a while, your body learns to know that nutrients are coming from this and how well it does for you. And then you start to crave it. And the same goes for, you know, going to yoga or running or just having fresh air or being in nature. Once you teach your body that habit, it kind of indicates what it likes. And that might be, by the way, different from different people. Not everybody get that same feeling from, let's say, yoga. A lot of people might not feel great going to yoga as well. But for most of us, when we give these good things to our body, they will start to naturally crave it. It's not like you're physically addicted, mm-hmm. but in a positive way, your body's telling you what you need and what feels good. And just having the courage and gut instinct to follow your gut, it's like, that's really important. So I think you don't need fancy diet books or specific things to tell what your body needs. I think your body's telling it if you just tune in and kind of listen to it. That being said, sometimes you have to try and experiment a few things before you find the things that your body is enjoying. And also being aware that what your body enjoys when you're 20 might be different than when you're 30, might be different when you're 40. And also if you're busy at work or at school or being a parent or whatever you're doing, it might be different. Like the holiday season might be a lot more hectic, so you might need a lot more adaptogens versus when you're on a vacation, you might need, you know, eat more of those blueberries so your skin doesn't get burned when you're having sunbathing in Mexico or something.
Yes.
So it might be different solutions for different times of the year as well.
Right. Well, in general, can you go too hard on the shrooms? I mean, are there any contraindications? Are there any, can you consume too many in one day? Or are there, you know, any people that shouldn't consume your products?
Well, generally speaking, they are safe. They're foods. You know, they're foods that have been consumed for thousands of years. But the same way as some people can't handle cabbage, or some people can't have carrots, or some people can't have, you know, whatever.
Onions,
Yeah, there's exceptions. The exceptions are a very, very, it's like in reishi, there is people who can be allergic to reishi, but it's like 0.01% of the population. So it's incredibly rare that that happens. And you'll know it immediately after taking it if you are one of those people. So there are notable exceptions. And especially if you're on medication or if you're pregnant, that's always a time that you should consult a physician before starting to take anything. Like, you don't want to sign up for a marathon when you're 7 months pregnant necessarily, unless your doctor says you're good for it. The same way as you don't want to go and start taking 50 bags of mushrooms a day without consulting a physician. So there's always exceptions, but they are food. They're not really a supplement. They're not like you're supplementing or something. They are a real food that have this intelligence in them, this everyday magic.
They are magic mushrooms.
Yeah.
Without the hallucinations.
Correct. So, I mean, they're definitely safe, the same, and it's good to mix and match them the same way it's good to mix and match nettle and dandelion and kale and spinach and arugula. Mm. But nevertheless, you know, there are some exceptions out there.
Would you say there's like one gateway mushroom for everyone? Like of the four that you guys sell, is there a starter one? Or do you think people should just go with what they feel they need help with?
Well, if you just go to our website or generally just go and read about mushrooms, I think you will know which one gravitates to you when you read more about it. Mm-hmm. That being said, if you're in doubt, start with reishi. So R-E-I-S-H-I. Again, like I said, it's a Japanese name, reishi, however you want to pronounce it. But if you're in doubt, start with the queen of all mushrooms.
The queen.
It's never a bad idea to start from the queen. Focus on the queen. And then also it's the most studied of them all.
Oh.
So that's like, if you're in doubt, start there. But that being said, if you just read about these four mushrooms or add a couple, six, seven, eight, 10 mushrooms and just read about them, I think you'll know which one are you gravitating towards. Just listening to your body there helps out a lot as well.
Yeah. And I mean, how do you make yours actually taste good? Because I've been consuming mushroom teas from my acupuncturists for years and years, and most of them taste so nasty that they make me actually gag. I mean, you make yours taste wonderful. Like I drink them straight in just water and that's it. And how do you do that? And why doesn't anybody else do that?
It's not easy because a lot of these best mushrooms that don't actually taste mushroomy. So if you're somewhere there who hates the taste of mushrooms, these top mushrooms actually don't taste like your average mushroom. They unfortunately kind of taste worse. They taste very, very bitter. So if you use these powerful, you know, organic extract and especially dual extracted mushrooms, they're kind of gnarly. So it took us a long, long time to figure out how to make them taste good. And one of the ways how we do that is we kind of looked at it as like, is there any bitters that people like, and discovered that there's two notable exceptions to the fact that people hate bitters generally in the Western world. And those notable exceptions are coffee and cacao or chocolate. And so that's why making like mushroom hot cocoa or mushroom coffee has made a lot more easy to use them. We also use certain berries. Berries can be a little like bitter or pungent, but they're kind of like the good pungent, or using mint to mask these bitter flavors. So there's ways how we've kind of gone around it, but it's not an easy task.
That's fascinating. I mean, people are obsessed with your mushroom coffees. I don't drink coffee. I don't like the taste, but what are your mushroom coffees? Are they just literally coffee with the added bonus of mushrooms in it? And like, does it somehow make the coffee less bad for you? Or, you know, what, like people are obsessed with your mushroom coffees. And I feel like if people are nervous about trying mushrooms and they're listening to this podcast, that might be their gateway shroom right there, the mushroom coffee.
Yeah. Mushroom coffee is actually for a lot of people, the gateway shroom. So, so where I come from, we drink more coffee than anybody else in the world. So about three times more than the Americans.
Wow.
And we use this one particular mushroom, chaga, that I mentioned was this wellness mushroom, as a coffee substitute during the Second World War when we had a lack of coffee beans.
Oh.
And so combining coffee and mushrooms, you actually get best of both worlds. So coffee is not necessarily unhealthy. It's actually the number one source of antioxidants in America. And there's a lot of meta studies how it can help with cognitive function, cognitive health, heart health, cardiovascular things. But it can be tough for a lot of people's digestive tract. Mm-hmm. They might raise cholesterol. Some, you know, people get that heartburn.
Yeah.
They might get jitters.
Mm-hmm.
So both it's a quality of coffee question. So improving coffee quality can get rid of some of those issues. But also adding mushrooms can help the coffee be less acidic and have that like balanced energy and balanced cognitive function with the use of these mushrooms. Plus, you kind of mask the bitter flavor of these mushrooms. So you get mushrooms that taste good, but you also get a healthier coffee experience. So that's kind of like a double whammy there.
Yeah, double whammy. Is that your, what's your favorite product that you guys sell?
You can't say that. But
choosing your children.
Yeah.
What have you consumed today? In mushroom wise,
I've already had three different ones. We launched them in mushroom matcha with astragalus, ginger, and lion's mane. So I had that. Then I had a new product that our R&D manager just made, which I can't spill the beans on yet.
Ooh.
And then just before this call, I had one of the best baristas in the world made me a mushroom coffee using a specific single origin bean. and our tin mushroom blend. So we have this tin mushroom blend, mm-hmm. and he made this specific blend with a very high-end, high-quality coffee bean that he brewed. And so I had that. So I've had three different cups of mushrooms already, and it's 9:30 a.m. in L.A. I woke up early, though, but nevertheless, it's 9:30 and I've had three cups, so wow. I'm on my way to be on shrooms for the whole day.
Oh, my God. Well, I know you're traveling, and I'll let you go in a sec. What do you bring when you travel for mushrooms? Is it the chaga because it's great for immunity and it has the antioxidants, so it's good for all the crap when you're flying?
Yeah, definitely. That's my go-to mushroom when I travel. Chaga, chaga, chaga. I just have a lot of it. Right now, because I fly kind of early in the day, I want to write. I like writing in the airplane. I like writing middle of the night because it's like quiet. You get that like focused writing. So we have a new kind of a brain product with lemon. Ooh. So lion's mane and lemon. So I'm probably going to have that once I start writing. And then I'll be flying from the West Coast to the East Coast. So I'll probably be not jet lag, but there's a slight difference on like I'll be all energized and jazzed up when I get to my destination, even though I woke up super early mm-hmm. this morning, kind of trying to switch the time zones already a mm-hmm. few days ahead of the curve. I'm still probably going to have this other sleep product that we have with magnesium, ashwagandha, reishi spores, L-theanine, L-tryptophan. So it has like the amino acids and magnesium combined with two strong adaptogens, reishi and ashwagandha, that both help kind of my body calm down. So I'm probably going to have chaga for the plane and then lion's mane for the riding and then reishi product in the evening. So I'll get a good night's sleep and I'm not going to stay.
Damn. And you really practice what you preach.
Yeah, but I would say I'm also always on an experimental diet, trying new products. But like you don't have to know mushroom number 72 or mushroom number 12 or have to have 17 cups of mushrooms. Like Lily, just replacing your coffee with mushroom coffee once a day is already beyond what you need. And it's going to drive a lot of value to your life. So I'm an outlier. I'm not even going to try to behave like I'm not. You don't need to do what I do. It's just literally like one or two occasions a day, you upgrade and replace. Yeah. And add mushrooms to those routines that you already have. And you're going to get, you know, I believe a lot of benefits to your life.
I love that. Thank you for clarifying. Because I'm sure people are like, what? Like, I have to drink it 12 times a day. I can't do that. But I love that you're just like, just start with once or twice. And so like on an airplane, if you're going to drink your chaga, do you just open one of your packets into like hot water? You ask for hot water and drink it like tea? Is that what you typically do?
Correct. I have a friend who jokes that he loves when they serve mushrooms on these flights, which actually means that they just bring him hot water and he mixes one of our packets. But he constantly is like, oh, I love when they serve chaga on these flights.
Someday, maybe.
Yeah, it will happen.
Maybe Air Finland.
Yeah. I think actually we did this thing with this one major U.S. airline. And then I think some of them board members found out that they serve shrooms on their flights and they didn't have the sense of humor here or something like that. But it will happen. We're working on that.
That's really cool.
Talking of that, I kind of have to hit the airport.
I know you do. I know. I just wanted you to tell us about your book.
Yeah.
Before you go.
it's called Healing Mushrooms. It's the world's first book on these functional mushrooms. So these good mushrooms that grow predominantly on trees and how to cook with them. So it covers the top 10 mushrooms from the more familiar ones like shiitake and enoki and oyster mushroom to some of these more exotic ones that we talked about like reishi and cordyceps and how to cook with them. So
yes.
It tells the health benefits of top 10 mushrooms and it has 50 recipes, anything from like mushroom bacon to mushroom ice cubes to mushroom
ice cream. Cool.
And to all these kind of things, how you can get creative and use these mushrooms on diet. Because the two questions I always get is like, why should I consume these mushrooms? And then secondly is how to consume them and how to prepare for them. So after explaining this to thousands of people, finally decided to make a book. And it's really affordable on purpose, made it super affordable. So it's, depending where you buy, it's about $11 to $16. And really, you know, if you get just that one idea, the book is hopefully going to be worth that money.
That's great. And I assume when you wrote it, your mind was very much on lion's mane.
Yeah, well, a lot of stuff for sure.
Awesome. Well, I love your little trailer for the book. I'll link that in the show notes. And thank you so much for coming on and sharing all your shroom knowledge. I know there's so much we didn't cover. So where should everybody go to learn more? I mean, you even have a mushroom academy for free that people, you're so kind about sharing your knowledge on mushrooms so people can learn so much more about them.
Yeah, like I said, I kind of feel like I work for mushrooms.
You kind of do.
but you can go to Four Sigmatic or our social. So foursigmatic.com, foursigmatic.com. Or Four Sigmatic on Instagram, Facebook. And well, online we have our Mushroom Academy, which is a free e-learning course.
It's great.
The book is called Healing Mushrooms. You can get it wherever books are sold.
Woohoo!
And yeah, follow us on social and whatnot. We try to, as much as we also make products, our big love is just educating people on the benefits of mushrooms. And we have this community called the Shroom Club as well, if you want to learn and from fellow shroomers about mushrooms and their benefits and whatnot, you can join us on Facebook as well at the Shroom Club.
It's awesome. Great. Thank you so much and have a safe flight.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for having me on and keep drinking those mushrooms.
Oh, you bet.
Thanks.
Thanks so much for listening to the Party in My Plants podcast. I hope it's clear as alkaline water to you that mushrooms aren't just a trend. They're a means to a better you in the end. Truth be told, I actually don't love cooking with mushrooms all that often. I'm not even sure if there will be any recipes with shrooms in my upcoming book. So I deeply, deeply appreciate Four Sigmatic for giving me a sweet way to slurp up the magic of shrooms instead. Remember, you can save 15% off all your Four Sigmatic orders when you use Party in My Plants at checkout on their site, foursigmatic.com. And all the deets from this episode, plus a heck of a lot more that makes healthy living not suck, can all be found at partyinmyplants.com/113.